Benjamin Sufferlin. I'm here enjoying the Texas Craft Brewers Festival.
Hello, I'm Lee Green with Point Remove Brewing Company in Morrilton, Arkansas.
This is Sunny with Three Nations Brewing.
This is Brian from No Beer Left Behind.
Hi, this is Art Harvey with Westlake Brewing Company.
This is Ruben Garcia Jr., and I'm the head brewer and owner of Hemisphere Brewing Company in Rockwall, Texas.
This is Angie Thomas, the Undeniable Vixen, Tony's number one nemesis. You are listening to Modern Brews and Beats.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Modern Brews and Beats, episode number 143. I'm Jerry Richard, JW Richard with NTX Beer, and that's ntxbeer.net, and NTX underscore beer on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cool, Tony D is actually not with me this week. He's got some great news, but he'll deliver that when he joins us again for the next show. So stay tuned for that on our next episode. This week's going to be a little different. We're going to play a few bits of past episodes and kind of give you a little chopped taste, if you will, just looking back at a few of our episodes, maybe a little music in between. Our show reference this week is actually dealing with a lighthouse at Monnut's Ledge near Cassahead, Massachusetts. Monnut's Ledge Lighthouse has this special beam, right? And so they call it the Lover's Light. And there's one beam for the word for the letter I, and there's four beams for L-O-V-E, and three for Y-O-U. This sort of the Lover's Light, I love you, this 143 special deal. Now, of course, I'm from Texas. I'm taking their word for it. I don't know whether this really does that or not, but, you know, I like it, and so that's our show reference for the week. You can also take Chamillionaire's song Ridin' with Crazy Bone as a reference, because that's 143 beats a minute, according to Jog FM. So that's another one you can take for our 143 reference. Now, on top of all the different events that are coming on for the week, I will be in East Austin on October 1st for the Texas Craft Brewers Festival. It's one of my favorite festivals each year. So I would love to see you there. And if you let me know that you heard it on the podcast, I may have some stickers and things for you while supplies last. I'd love to give those away to you and talk to you more about the show. But yeah, it's going to be happening from 2 to 6. If you have the VIP tickets, which sold out really early, they always do, it's about 12 to 6. So that's happening in East Austin. You can find more at texasgraftbrewersfestival.org.com. I should have had that on my notes. That's my bad. But definitely, in fact, I even have a link to it at ntxbeer.net, because I've written a short piece on 5 tips to really get the best fun out of the Texas Craft Brewers Festival. And again, you can see that on the website. As far as DFW events are concerned, Turning Point Beer in Bedford is holding their first annual Lagerfest on October 1. This should be fun. One, I love lagers, and if I were here in Dallas, I would definitely be heading to this event. So definitely make some time to get on into the mid-cities and enjoy lagers, not only with Turning Point Beer, but several other local breweries that will be participating in that. We've got that event and many, many more things going on through the week. All of that is available on the event calendar at ntxbeer.net. So just go right there, look for the event calendar, and you'll see all the different things that will be going on for this coming week. Another event that's happening is International Podcast Day. So this show is dropping on September 25th. Well, International Podcast Day is September 30th. And it's a great time to recognize the podcast that you enjoy. And for me, it's a great time to just talk about different shows that I've loved and continue to listen to and have inspired me to do what I do. So, I mean, definitely happy International Podcast Day. So many people are more likely to put some tweets and different things up as it gets closer to that day. But it's also a great day to show your support. This is that time where if you've not given your favorite podcast a rate or review on the sites that you listen to, this is that day to do it. If they have some merchandise, this is that day to support them. If they have a tip jar, I know at ntxbeer.net, we have a little Buy the Crew a Brew tip jar. You know, this is that day to really support the shows that you love. And again, support happy International Podcast Day. Like I said, we're going to get into this episode 143. Got a few mixed things here and there, maybe a little music. And let's get it started.
How did you get into craft beer? I think that's something that we all want to know. I definitely want to know that.
Sure. So I guess a little bit about my background. And I'm originally from Argentina, so way in South America. But I have lived here in the U.S. for most of my life. Moved with my family to Oregon when I was 8. And then moved around quite a bit. Ended up in Ohio, where I met my wife, got married, did my graduate school in Virginia, and then moved in Virginia Tech. So, you know,
Hokie.
Okay. I know you love football. Yeah, there you go. I know you love football, but I'm more college than NFL.
Oh, but so am I. I'm just brainwashed. I love the Cowboys and the pros. That's it, though. And yes, it is brainwashed.
But I follow the Hokies, and then moved here to Memphis in 2008. At the time, that was pre-transition for me. And during those years of coming to Memphis, I was really overweight and started taking care of myself, did like this whole lifestyle change. And then kind of reconnected with things I remember from my childhood that I started to allow myself to explore. And then getting to a point where for many years I described myself as gender fluid. Until actually right before that we met online, I think it was February of 2019 where I had a breakdown. And this is where it was good to have a lot of connections to community within Memphis, the LGBT community, that I can reach out for help and seek out a therapist and go through that all that process of really unpacking what my future was like, what it was going to be like. And then starting the process of transitioning at the end of 2019, and that whole process of coming out to friends, families, work. And so that was, 2019 was a huge, huge year, of course. But the way that relates to beer and craft beer, I think comes back to community. One of the things I love about the craft beer community is that it's so supportive. I may be very optimistic. I am an optimistic person, look on the bright side. So I tend to see the craft beer community as very supportive and great. My background as a chemist in my profession, I love understanding how things work on a detail level and getting to know and starting to explore beer. You know, I had no idea what the difference between ale and a lager was. So I needed to know. It's like, what's the difference? What's the difference between a stout and a porter? So with all that exploration, I got into homebrewing and into the craft beer community online. And then I really wanted to engage with that community. So from a transgender perspective, and that's how I've been kind of engaging with that, exploring that side since. So it's been very rewarding.
We'll be right back.
My parents are immigrants, and you know, my dad, he loves beer, and what I would imagine is the beer selection in the Soviet Union where they were growing up wasn't all that great. So when we got here, you know, my dad was, he loves Stella. Like, he loves his Stella and he loves his Pilsner Urquell. And, you know, growing up, that was kind of all I drank, growing up, you know, 15, 16, you know, just that's what we'd have around the house. My dad and I would, you know, crack open a Pilsner, a Beck's or something like that. My brother was kind of the same way. And then it was really all I knew. And then you go to college. And I remember how alarming it was when I first drank a Natty Light. And I was like, oh, my God, this is awful. And my dad was stunned, too. You know, he came with me to the liquor store in Cleveland where I was going to school. And he was like, this is a 30 pack for like $6. This is awful. Let me get some normal beer. So, and I'm sure you guys would agree.
It was designed
but
to
that was
you
kind
out.
Of the extent. Yeah. Yeah. It would, oh my God, it was. And there were like Keystone Ice, you know, the classic, like, hey, I'm in college, let's get hammered beers. And yeah. I always hated them. But you know, I was like, hey, I love my Stella. Maybe I'll have a Corona if I'm on the beach. And then I met my, you know, now wife, and she was actually super big into craft beer. And she loved going to breweries. She used to work at like a brew house, and she was super into craft beer. And I remember she had me taste, we lived in Indiana together at the time. She had me taste, it was a really dark porter. And I was like, what is this? It looks like a chocolate milkshake. And I was like, wow, this is fantastic. It has so much flavor. And it was really strong for me. And then I had one and I was way, way more intoxicated than I ever had been off of like one Stella. And
absolutely.
That kind of kicked things off. You know, I was like, hey, these are great. I started trying different things from breweries and, you know, I was started trying to drink local, and my perspective on things really changed. And ever since we've been in Texas, you know, gosh, there's no shortage of breweries. And I think there's so many different interesting beers. And, you know, I'm a completely different man than I was 10 years ago drinking just Stella and Pilsner.
Hey, well, I love a good Pilsner now. I love a good Pilsner, love a good lager. And I even will get down with a Stella or a Modelo, as Tony will definitely. But Tony is a Modelo man, as you probably heard through the shows. So, okay, that is a little bit of the beer journey. Now, how did you even get started with blockchain and NFTs? And let's wrap that around to where Token Brews is really that part of the story.
Yeah, and honestly, Jerry, I think you tie it in pretty well, because, you know, beer is just something I enjoy. And, you know, and crypto and blockchain just was also just totally something, you know, this whole thing, it really is just a passion project for me, something I'm enjoying doing. And, you know, about 6 months to a year ago, I started getting really interested in where things were headed. I was like, oh my God, I wish I'd bought Bitcoin 10 years ago, like everybody. And then, you know, all I knew at the time was Bitcoin, Ethereum, and then Dogecoin. You know, everybody made, you know, you buy Dogecoin when it was 3 cents, and then you made however, you know, depending how much you threw in, you made some money. And I was, you know, I was just like, what is this world? And sure, I started researching and just reading, and I was like, hey, this is some interesting stuff. And then I started investing a little bit and thinking like, hey, this isn't really a play to make a couple hundred bucks in the next couple weeks. Like, and this is the future in many ways. And a lot of these projects, you know, are going to turn into nothing, but a lot of them are really going to power our ecosystem in a little while. And we're going to be, you know, everyone's going to have to be well-versed in it in some capacity. You see Bitcoin being adopted as, you know, as ledger in, across the world. And, you know, big companies are buying Bitcoin all the time. And Ethereum is, you know, Ethereum's really becoming mainstream. And there's so many different things going on in that world that I started just researching and getting interested in it. And, you know, to that point, I was thinking like, hey, what are some things I really enjoy? And beer and cryptocurrency. And I was like, okay, how can I put those two together into, you know, doing something that I would also enjoy doing that would be, you know, a fun project for me? And that's honestly how Token Brews, you know, became Token Brews. I was like, hey, let's just throw something together, see what there is. Is there anybody doing anything with cryptocurrency and beers right now? And truly the answer is kind of no. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm a trailblazer by any means. This obviously is a very new project. But I think, you know, a lot of the world's going to be picking it up in the next few years, 5 to 10 years. So I'm just, you know, excited to see where things go.
Ed Steele out here at the Big Texas Beer Fest drinking with my buddy from Modern Brews and Beats. You should follow that podcast. It's awesome.
Well, speaking of new beers to reach new audiences, so I've tasted Hemisphere beers before. I think the first time I actually had one of your beers was at a festival, a Pink Boots festival, actually, a fundraiser at Craft and Growler. But then I was at Big Texas Beer Fest here in Dallas. And Ned Steele, shout out to Ned Steele with Cedar Creek Brew House and Eatery there in Carrollton, it told me, oh, you need to go by Hemisphere's booth because they've got something that, you know, tastes like a very popular soda. So I said, okay, let me go over here and see what's going on. And you happen to have some left because I came in time because they told me, I said, let me go over here and see what's happening. But you always want to, you know, big festivals like that, you want to talk with everybody and find out, okay, what's the buzz? What's something that's a must have in here before things run out? I came over, met you, I got a little pour of that. And what something I would see is hard red. I tasted this, I said, wait a minute. But why am I drinking big red right now? You know, I wasn't ready for that. So, you know, I see this, and I see this as seltzer, and I see this a big, fairly big seltzer. You know, seltzers were kind of having that movement within the past year or two, really. People looking at diversifying their alcohol intake and wanting to, I don't know if they're thinking health or all the different things like that, but just different flavors, right? And here you got this seltzer that really capitalizes on these flavors, but it's a 10.5% seltzer. So I love to know the origin of kind of what sparked this and what's going on with the future of it.
So when we started this idea was when we first opened, we're doing sparkling waters. And we're like, man, you know, and it was something that was just we came out with a base. Mm-hmm. And it was just a sparkling water. It was 5.01%. Because our license dictates that we can't brew anything below 5%. And we're like, okay, well, let's have something. And then we had some on the countertop. We have fresh fruit. So this is like 2016, 2017. And nobody understood it. Like, oh, we don't like it. So we only did a small batch. We only did one keg. Like, man, let's try it, see what works. Well, it didn't work. People didn't understand it. They thought it was gross. It didn't have flavor. We're like, well, it's water. It's like Topo Chico, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't understand it. They're like, no, I go with Topo Chico with alcohol. And so it just didn't get, it didn't catch. So then the following year, White Claw comes out. We're like, what? All right. So then White Claw comes out. Then the other seltzer started. Then it became the thing. Well, you know, we're still small. We try to push and, you know, kind of emphasize what we're doing. But, of course, it's all about dollars. And, you know, when you're small, you don't have that big budget to be able to push into advertising and just, you know. So we just shelved it. Then 2017, 2018, I brought it back with, you know, I was like, okay, let's take it to the next spectrum. Not your father's or great, or not your grandfather's root beer came out. They're like, well, so we do a root beer, but we never pushed that. So we're like, man, everything's like 5.5, 6%. This is like, I'm going to take it to the next level. I'm going to take it to the opposite side of the spectrum. I went from 5% to like 18%. And I do have it at 18% and I can actually trim it down to where it is, you know, I could do a lot of things that are coming. You know, I won't reveal too much, but there's a lot of crazy things coming up with this seltzer line and hard cola line. You know, it's not going to be your average stuff. It's not for the weak, but it's good and fun, you know, and that's where we're going to continue to push on it. Yeah, that's, we have the hard red. And so we did our version of a Mountain Dew, which is a mountain brew. That one is 9.6%.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And I know Mountain Dew came up with theirs recently, and it was 5.5%. They call it their hard, you know, their hard seltzer. Well, ours is, you know, my tagline for this, for these series, it's like, it's not your skinny seltzer, it's your fat cola. So if you're watching calories.
I love that.
If you're about the waistline and the calories and all this, it's like, this is not for you. Like, this is like for serious connoisseurs that love the beer drinking, like to have a good time. But, you know, and they have fun with it, man. And honestly, like where I deliver it to, some bars and restaurants, they're already making mixed drinks out of those things. I was like, man, it's a beer. They're like, yeah, but you can do this, you can do that, you can do that. I was like,
being black has always been a part of your label, always been a part of your persona, and putting that story with it. It's never been a separation. It's always been right there. I'm sure it would have been easy for you to just create this beer and not be black identified or just call it something else. Why was it really important for you to make sure that that was a part of your story from the beginning of your marketing?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it has a lot to do with the way that I grew up, right? The way that I grew up is my parents were divorced early on, and I was raised by a single mother. And when you're raised by a single mother and you're living in poverty, you see resources that are not yours all around you, right? And so as a child, you have to learn how to navigate through the stuff that you know you need that you don't have, right? If I could say to anybody, that's what racism feels like, right? It feels like being impoverished for no other reason than your skin color, right? And so growing up poor, and in a single parent household with my mother, and being a young black male, one of the things that I found myself looking for is masculinity. And masculinity actually came from uncles. It was a sense of community outside of my household. And so what I saw growing up was how the black community didn't have resources, but it seemed like the talent was poached from the black community, right? And what I mean by that is the talented 10th seemed to drop their blackness in some way, you know, some shape, form, or fashion. The talented 10th, if they didn't go to an HBCU, then it was hard for them to identify with their blackness. And so my Black Men Brewing stories for me started as a homebrew thing where I was mostly surrounded by white peers. And I speak in colors because colors is what you see. But what you respond to is you respond to love, right? And so I felt that I could take black men wherever I went, wherever I go, because I'm looking for the love. I'm looking for people who respond to me well. And so race relations were always something that could immediately expose my situation and get to the heart of something, right? And you kind of know that when you walk into a room, if you're poor or or you're black. You know, if you're poor, someone's thinking that you're going to steal something from them, right? And if you're black, you're just not comfortable in that situation because it's new to you sometimes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like what I learned is to not to speak for anyone's situation except for my own. And the only way that I could identify with my story is to also identify with my blackness, right? Because oftentimes I was the only black man in the room, and I didn't want my blackness to be diluted because I was mostly cross-cultural in different situations. And so I think that my homebrew taught me the importance of putting a bottle on the table that has some type of black representation, right? And because I started putting my logo on my homebrew bottles, and I could immediately see how just that black and white label, I'm talking like a flat image on a label, would kind of create this elephant in the room. Well, what elephant are we talking about? We're talking about people's preconceived notions, right? Mm-hmm. And not just seeing that just by itself, just with the brand.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, this is something that is mine. It's always been how I could tell my story to those who would listen, because, you know, their uncomfort in seeing that black face on the bottle was just as uncomfortable for me to enter the room, right? In a room that didn't look like me. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't in the room because, you know, like, I didn't deserve to be there. And that bottle wasn't on the table because it was racist, right? The bottle was on the table because it's beer, right?
Right.
But in that window, you get to see what's under the skin of a lot of people, and what's also under your skin. So if I was racist, then I will respond with racist tendencies. And if I was searching for love, then I would respond with love. And so it's always been that for me. It's never been about any type of race relations. It's how am I as a black man going to navigate with my talents, gifts, and abilities, because this is what I was born with, right? I'm not asking anybody sitting next to me to provide a way for me, right?
Right.
I'm asking the people standing next to me to accept what I brought, right, and accept what I have to offer.
Right.
And like I said, I could put that beer that I brought on the table and ask people to accept it in an implicit way.
Yes.
And get some type of feedback that was both emotional as well as spiritual in a sense, you know?
Thank you so much for listening to episode 143 of Modern Brews and Beats. Like I said, it's a little different than the shows we usually do. Cool. Tony D will be back soon here on the show. Like we say every week, enjoy your favorite beers and enjoy your favorite music, but please do not drive drunk. Please call a cab, Lyft, Uber, a friend, or be a friend if someone needs to get home safe. Thank you for listening to Modern Brews and Beats.
Modern Brews and Beats, a Metric Arts and Media production.